Hello, Fife fans. Welcome back to Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club, where a couple of friends talk about anything and everything that takes their interest, putting their world to rights. What's the first rule of Fife Club?
Talk about Fife Club.
Yay!
And it literally is a couple of friends this week because it's only being cut.
It's just the pair of us.
Not a few, a couple.
A couple, yeah. So we're doing this again to you poor people out there. We've spent, 3 days trying to get an amalgamation of people together and it's all fallen through at the last minute. So fuck it, we've just decided to go rogue again. Good luck. I suppose on the mics with my good self Kutch tonight is Jamie.
Hello.
Yeah. And that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Done. No Done. Piffy remarks.
Yeah, no. I haven't written anything. There we go. Done.
Oh, there we go. It's your new catchphrase. I should probably mention the socials.
The socials.
I've not even been drinking. Like, Jesus. That's some strong tea you gave me, Kutch. So if you want to talk to us, please do on facebook.com/fiveclubpod or at Fife Club, Twitter at Fife Club, Instagram Fife Club, website www.fiveclub.co.uk, email ken@fiveclub.co.uk, or just fucking Google it.
Yeah, do it. Just Google it. Do you know what I keep thinking? The last couple of weeks we've been doing this and we've been here in the conservatory. Still really light at this time of night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's mental.
I fucking love it. I absolutely love summer. 9 o'clock and it's, it could be 5.
The other day I was really struggling to get to sleep. Just drifting off. It must have been about 4 a.m.
All right.
Then the fucking dawn chorus started. Fucking birds. And my room's sort of out from the rest of my house, so it just surrounds me like, fucking birds.
It reminds me of, I think it was April when we went on holiday. We were up in Aberfeldy and it was at night and it was a bit darker at that time of year. But from about 7 o'clock right the way through to 4 a.m, there was 2 fucking owls in the trees outside. And when I say fucking, I'm pretty sure that that's what they were trying to get up to anyway.
Yeah, to it to
was
who.
Just, yeah, all night was woo-hoo, and then 2 seconds later, like that thing where once you notice it you can't stop hearing it, and like, yeah, I just couldn't sleep.
It's just like this podcast.
That's it, done. But yeah, Don chorus, fucking yeah, that's,
it's a good start. It's a solid start to a show.
Yeah.
So
what will we talk about this week, seeing as it's just the two of us?
Well, there was a little technology conference that went on.
Yeah.
Gaming conference.
In Los Angeles, of all places.
It is Los Angeles,
yeah,
also.
It is, yeah.
It's not usually Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's always
is it? LA,
yeah.
Oh, I was thinking of Comic-Con, that's San Diego.
San Diego, yeah.
Yeah, that's
California.
Yeah. So E3.
Yeah, E3. The annual, what was it? Electronic Entertainment Expo.
There yes, we go.
Yeah,
there you go.
E3. So yeah, video games basically.
Yeah.
If you don't know, we always kind of watch it every year with interest because, well, video games are an interest of ours.
Yeah,
yeah. And it was an interesting E3. No Sony this year. Not in any major way anyway.
And people were like, "Oh, will Google take their space?"
Nope.
They did a Stadia Connect thing like
about 2 or 3 days beforehand.
Yeah,
like that,
but they were still sort of milling around and doing interviews and demos and stuff.
Yeah, they had presence like on the floor because that's the other thing about it. The last 2 or 3 years now, it's been opened up to the public. It always used to just be a journals event. Yeah,
it was journals. I thought you could buy tickets for it.
No, it was always just a journals event up until 2 or 3 years ago.
I didn't even realize that. I knew it was mainly a journals event, but I thought there was like an allocation.
No, I mean, I think there was like, you know, different sort of publications had like winners that they would take along, but generally those winners would then be, you know, sort of encouraged to do video or blog or something, you know, do something over the weekend. But there was always like Joe Public in there, but not like it is where it's now ticketed and, you know, people go into the big conferences and the show floor and whatnot. Like you say, well, I mean, just the week before we had that announcement from Google Stadia, that kind of, it kind of kicked things off, because it can kick things off for the E3 run.
Yeah.
It's even if you know, like companies aren't there to do a big keynote speech or whatever, they're still peddling their wares all around about E3.
Yeah,
because exactly. It's just big business, isn't it?
It's big and business, and deals when everyone's in one place at the same time,
and the eyes of the world are looking at video games, basically. Yeah. So yeah, Google, like, I think we talked about it a while back, was that they came out and mentioned their streaming service. So instead of actually having a console, you'll stream the games.
Yeah, which
kind of like Netflix, but with a controller.
Yeah, yeah, and it's so. I don't know. They've come out with a pricing model.
Mm-hmm.
So from the last time we talked, and basically it's going to be, so they're going to have Stadia Base, which is free, and you just buy the games.
Yeah,
and people are like, "Oh, but what if the game? You know, what if Stadia stops being a thing?" It's like, yeah, but if you think about it, most games that you buy online are like, say, take Destiny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if they ever put down a service for Destiny, you can't play it anymore because it's an online game.
Well, I mean, I was saying this as well, but a lot of games these days are released incomplete. So you could buy it on a disc.
Yeah.
And as soon as you put it in your machine, there's a day one download, which has updates, and then it's continually updated because games aren't finished when they're put on disc.
Although they're so massive that I think it's impossible
to do that now,
do it and make money.
But that means that, you know, 10, 15 years down the road, if they turn off the update servers, then you pop that game in.
Yeah.
You're not going to, you'll be able to play a version of the game, but it's not the version that you will.
But so many games today rely on online that it's like, but so they said, well, Stadia Base is going to be free and you buy the games.
Yeah.
Like Epic or Steam or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's not going to be out until 2020.
Mm.
What we're launching this year in November at some point is Stadia Pro, which is, I think it's $9 a month or something like that. And it's...
it'll be about $8.99.
Yeah, I think it's something about that. And basically that lets you play in 4K, whereas... Mm-hmm. Base is 1080 HD.
Mm-hmm.
That'll let you play in 4K.
60 frames per
second. 60 frames. I think you might get 60 frames on the Pro, on the base as well, strangely. But you'll also get a library of games, like over 100
Dolby
games.
Digital as well.
Yeah. 5.1 on the...
Yeah. Library of games, although there's not many at the moment.
Well, there's quite a few of them that I'm like, do you know what? These are games I've been wanting to play.
Mm-hmm.
So I might buy 1 month of it to try it and see how it is. So, like, they're putting up the entire Destiny with all the add-ons.
Destiny 2.
Because I've played the first Destiny 2, but I'm like, I'm a fuck buying the expansions.
Yeah, expansion
pack. But if they're putting it up in that, I'll try it. That and Mortal Kombat 11.
Yeah.
And Mortal Kombat 11 should really test it. If I play people online at Mortal Kombat 11, that should stretch a streaming service.
So...
That's Stadia, basically. Oh, they came out with a Founders Pack as well.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I actually asked someone this on Reddit, Stadia. Mm-hmm. I was like, on our Stadia on Reddit. I was like, why aren't you guys, like, you're paying like $130, whatever, and you get a Chromecast Ultra controller.
Yeah.
3 months of Stadia, 3 months of Stadia to give to a friend and something else. And I was like, aren't you worried it just won't work that well?
Mm.
But one of them was like, no, I'm not worried at all because I've done Project Stream.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, but what about all the people who haven't done Project Stream?
It's a big gamble you're taking, isn't it?
Yeah.
But then that's early adopters.
Yeah.
Early adopters always take big gambles. I mean, I've done it as well with hardware before. I've bought into something day one.
Yeah.
And then found out there's been massive problems with, like, Wi-Fi. There was a tablet I bought a while ago. It was a big sort of big launch. Yeah, the Wi-Fi and the GPS in it were shit because of a design flaw, basically. And that people only found that out that day.
It's the cost of early adopting, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. It's like, you know.
You're always going to have that sort of that period of time where it's probably, you know, you're making a sort of a risk, I suppose, in the money that you're spending. I suppose at the end of the day, that it's not a lot of money for what you're getting. In terms of like that package, that Founders Pack, it's actually quite good value because you're getting the Chromecast Ultra, you're getting the controller, and you're getting the 3 months for you and 3 months for a friend.
Yeah.
That's probably worth about, like, if you were to buy it all individually, it's probably worth about $250.
Yeah, they were like, that's pretty much price range. You put it at like $300, $250, $300. But at the same time, so it does seem to be the way games are going. Like, I was surprised actually watching the Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only other thing I watched all the way through.
Yeah.
They didn't spend much time on xCloud at all.
No, and the thing that they mentioned about it was really confusing. So, again, with this, Microsoft, it's been known for a while that they've got a competing service that they're going to launch. In fact, that was the service, the only one that we knew of initially, and then sort of Google came along and announced their service. But, it seemed to be that Phil, is it Spencer?
Yes.
Which Phil Spencer? Because Phil Harrison's...
Google. Phil Spencer's Microsoft.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All noticed that. Yeah, yeah.
But then Phil Harrison's worked for both Sony and Microsoft in the past, so that gets even more confusing.
Yeah.
But yeah, Phil Spencer then, he had said that... it's where I'm confused about what the service is, because he said that it's based on the machine that you have at home, but then said something about...
Then seemed to imply that it's going to be Project Scarlet, their new thing, and it's going to be that, but it's like, maybe their initial run will be that, and then they'll update it over time. This is a thing with Stadia.
But then people were also, I was reading that people were saying that they were playing games on the Xbox, on the xCloud service, from machines in another location, like in a server.
Mm.
So do they have a server-based system like Google where they've got just tons of essentially Xboxes?
Yeah, so that's what they said they originally did. Yeah. Essentially, they took an Xbox apart, fitted it in a server blade, and that's essentially what it is. I'm sure they modified it in some way, but that way,
but then,
they said that way was easier than... Yeah.
But then what he suggested is that it's the machine in your house that will be playing the games and that you'll then be...
Oh, no, I didn't get that. Oh, no. What, like a Project Shadow?
Yeah, so essentially your machine. So you know how, like, at the moment you can do screen share on, like, a Windows machine?
Yeah, yeah.
So you can play it in the Xbox app.
Yeah.
It's playing natively on your Xbox.
Yeah.
But you're playing it through your...
No, what it is, I think what he was trying to say is that it's the same machine.
Right.
So it's essentially an Xbox taken apart in the server.
Right.
But it'll...
See, that's not what I took from that.
No.
It's really confusing.
But it was... Yeah. They didn't spend much.
No,
at first
really
they were like, oh, we're going to go big. They sent a leaked email. Yeah. Like, we're going to go big, response to Google Stadia. And then... Yeah.
They didn't it's at like, all. What, they just what? Kind of...
It's really weird.
But then went into detail about the new console.
Yeah.
Scarlet, which...
Yeah.
You know what? It sounds like a standard upped, you know, brand new console where it's going to have what? It's like four times the computing power of the current Xbox.
It does look powerful. I'll tell you the main thing that I got from the Stadia thing and the Xbox thing, major difference was that the Xbox One, they seem to understand that content's king in a way.
Uh huh.
Whereas the Stadia one's more about like tech stuff.
Yeah.
And
I suppose that's where even though
Stadia's actually getting Cyberpunk 2077?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever year it is. Cyberpunk and a lot of games. You know, they announced quite a lot of games. They're like, oh, we're getting this, we're getting that, we're getting this. But it's like, to them, it almost seems like the content, like they were like putting, oh, look, it's like, I don't know how to describe it. It's really weird. It's like we're putting the service up front.
Yeah.
Rather than the content.
But I think that's because there's a lack of content. They don't have tons of it yet. So it's...
Yeah.
And probably to sell it, they have to sell the idea of the service before they can...
Yeah, maybe.
You know, sell the games. Whereas Xbox, I mean, where Microsoft have the home advantage with that is that they are absolutely chock-a-block with games.
Yeah.
You know, and they've been doing their whole big project to make original Xbox and Xbox 360 games compatible with Xbox One as well. And then I think what he did mention is that the new machine will be compatible, backwards compatible. You know, it's a machine for generations.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it sounds like that what they want to tap into is that massive games library.
Yeah.
But then they also announced the new Game Pass.
Yes, that was their big thing.
Yeah, so
which is kind of like xCloud, I suppose, and I think that's going to be the feed in.
Yeah, into it.
Into xCloud is like
currently
because essentially, I read a journalist who's like, you'll still have to download them just now, but the idea is that in the future you'll just get it as and that'll be xCloud as well, but it's more expensive than Stadia. Although they have a bigger library.
Yeah.
But then Stadia are saying, like, I think they're doing Ubisoft. They're doing Ubisoft's streaming service.
Yeah.
They're going to offer it on there as an add-on.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I think that's the route they're looking to go more.
Oh, yeah.
Is get other people's streaming services on board. But
I suppose it is that...
Uplay or whatever it's called.
Yeah. It's that sort of franchise it out, essentially. Yeah, the I think the Microsoft thing though, it's $8.99 just now for the Game Pass, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, or it's £15 altogether to get Xbox Live and Game Pass.
And then what they're doing,
or $15. Yeah.
I think it's £15. That's
£15.
And $8.99.
They're doing 1 month for £1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good. But you've got like over 200 games that you've got access to. That is massive when you think about how much you pay for a game outright at the moment.
Yeah.
If you play a handful of games a year, you could be paying £200. Whereas the $8.99 over the year is about that, and you've got access to everything, essentially. Yeah. And all first party titles on the day of launch as well.
It's the thing. It's like, I think, I don't know if you said it on a podcast last time we talked about this, but you said it to me since, is that what Google need to do almost to show that they're serious. They've got some partner studios, but you need to buy some game studios.
Yeah.
And then people go, shit, they're serious.
Yeah.
Buy game studios.
It would gain a lot of sort of trust, I suppose.
How many game studios has Microsoft bought in the last two or 3 years? I think it's like, isn't it up at like 12 or 15 or something like now.
Did you notice this time round as well, they went really heavy, like you were talking about the content thing, they went really heavy on content because they have been criticized recently about not having that many sort of great first party titles. Like there's really not actually been a strong,
but now they can show this is what we've got coming. Yeah. Now we've bought all this.
There's some, like, was it not 60 games they showed at E3 that were coming?
I'd like to mention
indies through to AAA.
Yeah.
I'd like
to mention Bleeding Edge, which was like it basically looks like Overwatch, but like melee and more sort of bloody and ridiculous. So there was like a person who was like half motorcycle or something.
Yeah.
And like, you know, looked sort of...
It looked mental.
It looked right up my street, like multiplayer online. I forgot the name of the franchise. The little thing, platformer. Forest.
Ori.
Yeah. New Ori looks fucking gorgeous.
Looks amazing. Yeah, they really, really did go in heavy. And the other thing about Project Scarlet, the new console, is right at the end, of course, what did they announce? What's the new game that's going to be like a release, like day one release with the console?
Oh, I don't know.
Halo, the next.
Oh, yeah.
Well, those cunts know how to take my money from me, don't they? Like, I barely touched my Xbox in the last, like, two years, but put a Halo game on it and I'm there.
The trailer for it
was
quite good as well. That's looked more sort of real world, but still in that universe. So it looks interesting.
Be interesting to see how they change things up and they do it. But yeah, fucking Halo game on a new console.
Yeah.
Take my money.
Just have to mention, Microsoft had the best, by far, moment of the entire thing when Cyberpunk was playing, Cyberpunk 27, like a massively sort of a game that people would be massively looking forward to and hyping and stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't really actually, I wasn't really that into it until actually this trailer, and I was like, oh shit, actually this looks really good. And then at the end you hear a voice and I was like, is that Keanu Reeves? And then it fades up. It takes off his shades. And it's Keanu Reeves. Yeah. And then he's going to be like your guide / mentor or something. Yeah. And then Keanu Reeves walks out. It's like, holy shit, it's Keanu Reeves.
I also love the bit where, what was it? It was like, this game, this game's going to be, what was the word he used?
Whoa.
Whoa. I know Kung Fu. It's like, this game's going to be tremendous. And then somebody from the crowd shouted, you're tremendous! Apparently that guy who shouted that out got a free, like, Xbox? Oh, no, it's he's getting day one access to...
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a full kit, like the 150 quid kit for Cyberpunk.
Yeah. Thing. Yeah, yeah.
It was just like, wow, that's kind of cool. But yeah, Keanu Reeves, it was unexpected, but also was a little bit like how they always do these things at games conferences where
they usually fall flat and they don't work. Whereas everyone's like, holy shit, it's Keanu Reeves.
Or it's like they get a band to come out and play like Andrew WK.
Yes.
And it's just really fucking weird.
So shit. Yeah. I forgot about Andrew WK.
Well, who was that? Was that like EA or somebody? It wasn't.
It sounds like something EA would do. It sounds like something EA would do. New Jedi game looks good as well.
Yeah, that does. The new Star Wars one. What was it? Jedi...
Fallen Order. Order, here's the thing. Someone noted, and I was like, oh yeah, totally. It's not Star Wars : Jedi Fallen Order. It's Star Wars Jedi : Forward Order, which implies it's a series.
Yeah.
And it's, do you know, the guy who's the Jedi, the guy who voices it and looks like him, is the guy that plays the Joker. Gotham.
In Gotham, right.
Plays Jeremiah, and he plays the Joker. He plays about basically three different versions of the Joker.
That's cool. I noticed that there's more big name stars, because there's...
He's not big.
Well, but you know, like... actors in the games,
like when he did that Mirror's Edge or whatever it was, and it's the guys in all the Sci-Fi Channel stuff, like Killjoys and stuff.
What's his name? Bethnal, Punisher. What's he in?
He's in something. Is it Call of Duty or something? I don't know.
Something like that. But he was on stage with EA or Ubisoft or whoever it was. They were pulling out a lot of Hollywood.
Well, that might segue. Are we not on movie theater?
There's one other thing that we didn't talk about, which was Nintendo.
Did you watch the
Direct?
I thought about it and then thought, I'm not going to buy a Switch, so I'm not going to watch it.
So I have a Switch and I'm invested. it was pretty good Direct. So Nintendo do, instead of doing these big keynotes and all that, what they do is throughout the year they do little Directs. It's sort of anywhere from 20 minutes to an hour, where they just talk about what's coming. Sometimes it can be on a specific game, so like they've done ones on Pokemon, which are purely about the Pokemon games. Super Smash Brothers, they did a 40 minute Super Smash Brother one where they went into great detail about the super moves, the special moves, each character, the levels. It was boring as shit.
That's like Mortal Kombat. They've like, for the last like three games, it's just constant, like every day they're like, oh, here's the fatalities, here's the moves, here's a new character, here's something. I don't care anymore, you fucked me off.
Yeah,
like it's just too much.
Yep.
And I love Mortal Kombat. It's like, oh, Jesus Christ.
But yeah, this one was quite good. It was a kind of look forward to what's coming. And some of the games that we kind of knew about, there was Dragon Quest 25 or whichever number we're at just now. it's been made by the same guys that made Zelda Breath of the Wild. And it looks very much on the same vein. A probably will.
They like doing that, Nintendo.
Yeah.
They like having a successful game, then releasing a game about a year later, which is essentially
the same game.
The same game.
it looks like it's using the same engine and everything, so I'll probably pick that up. But they announced some other ones. Doom Eternal's coming. I've been playing Doom on it just recently, and you know what? For the fact that that is mobile hardware, it's old mobile hardware, the Bethesda managed to make that game look really good on it. It's not, don't get me wrong, it's not your Xbox or your PS4 level, but it's still pretty damn good. And the fact is you can take it on the go. You know, that's the beautiful thing about the Switch. But they announced the sequel, Doom Eternal, so, you know, they must be doing some magic to that as well. Don't imagine that'll look all that bad. The new Wolfenstein game as well, that's going to be out on it.
I forgot about
Bethesda
that.
Bethesda are going in deep.
Wait, a new Wolfenstein game or the one like Wolfenstein?
No, because the Wolfenstein 2 came out like a month after it came out on every other console, so it's the new one. What was the other one? The Witcher 3. You know, again, this, you know, it sounds like I'm talking about old games, and there are old games, and this has been something that's been quite a big theme, is that old games have been coming out on the Switch. Games that are anywhere between 10 and, well, sort of, well, 3 and 10 year old. But when you consider that the Wii U was a massive failure and a lot of games didn't come out on that, people who who only play Nintendo, this is the first time they're getting to play these games, and it will sell and it will do well. And I mean, I'll probably end up lifting like Witcher, because I didn't play it on the Xbox.
No, but I played it.
The chances are I'll play it on my Switch, because I spend more time with my Switch. That kind of excites me. Again, we've got two Pokemon games, Pokemon Shield and Pokemon Sword, and I'll probably lift one of those.
New Zelda game as well, isn't
it? Yeah, well, that was the thing that they finished the announcement with, is that the sequel to Breath of the Wild is in production, basically.
Oh, no, there was another thing. It was like a top-down.
Yeah, so that's a remake of Link's Awakening. Which was a Game Boy?
Yeah, I was going to say NES.
I think it was Game Boy, Link's Awakening.
Oh, right.
They've made a full like remake, HD, looks beautiful, top down, doing what they love to do with Zelda games, is just like put out different like art styles and versions continually. Yeah. It just, but then the story is, it's always the same story. So it's Link looking for Zelda, who's been captured by Ganon in a castle. And they even tried to link them up and have them like separated by time and stuff, and that these things keep happening, and it's just like, fair enough, but you know what, they make
it's,
great games.
It's kind of like Taken,
the same story every single time, pretty much,
or a Jason Statham film,
every single Jason Statham film, where's my bumper? I'm kind of quite impressed by the range of games that are coming out. There's a whole load of indies. It's become the platform for indies, actually.
Makes sense.
It does. Like, lots of platformers, lots of puzzle games. And again, most of them all work. I lifted Cuphead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you were telling me.
Yeah, which was an Xbox exclusive, but Microsoft have kind of gone, hey, Nintendo, they seem to be buddying up a lot. Yeah. I do wonder if like the xCloud or the screen share type thing will come to the Switch. It makes kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Like Game Pass on the Switch, that's a...
Yeah, give Nintendo a cut.
Yeah.
Deal.
Yeah,
done.
Deal done. Money made, and then you're getting to play AAA, AAA games on the Switch. That'd be awesome. But buddying up. But Cuphead, my God, that fucking game is hard.
It's insanely hard,
but
it's really good.
Like, it balances that level between difficulty and wanting to throw your machine across the room.
Oh, just wait. I've gotten to a point where I'm just like, fuck this. Fuck this game.
So I think I'm like four levels in, and I've probably spent about 10 hours playing it.
Yeah.
And... like,
and that's 10 solid hours of just
solid hours of just like over and over, because like each hive of what? Each hive was probably only about, if you were to do a perfect run, 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
But it's a platformer. It's like a gun and run platformer. Yeah. But they just make it so bloody difficult.
Yeah.
But
it looks amazing.
It does. It's very pretty. It's done in a very sort of old.
It's all cell Disney. Animation.
Yeah, and it's done in that sort of old Disney style.
Yeah, yeah.
It does. It looks beautiful. It plays.
Music is great, yeah. And yeah.
But so difficult. But again, like I say, you die, and you instantly want to go back and go right. Yeah. No, and it is about. Because everything generates in the same place.
Yeah.
It's not like random generation or everything. So what it does is...
Some of the bosses, they change it up later on.
Sort of, but not... Like, I've not really experienced...
I've come across bosses where I thought I'd figured it out,
uh-huh.
And I almost killed it, and then I died at the last fucking minute. And then, the next time I did it, it had a whole new power I'd never seen before,
right. Okay.
And kicked it out first.
I've not come across that yet.
Are you doing it on the mode where you get the scroll if you beat a boss?
I'm doing it on the sort of the normal mode at the moment.
See, if you do that,
uh-huh.
I don't think you get to progress. If I just ruined your life.
No, I'm moving through it.
But I think there's something about if you do it on the normal setting,
mm-hmm.
Like there's two settings.
Yeah.
If you do it on the easier one, which is not easy, then if you just do it on that, not the other one, I think like you either don't get to fight the final boss, or
right.
Or you don't get to go to the next world or something. I'm not all sure right. Where it is, but I know you don't progress in a certain way.
I'll keep playing it until that happens and then see what happens. But
yeah,
like I say, it's all about timing, and it takes me back to old platformers,
yeah.
Like Sonic, like Mario, like I think I said Castle of Illusions, the one
yeah.
As well. I mean, that was the Mickey Mouse Disney, but there's...
Platformers is where indies are at. Like,
yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. And I enjoy there's a lot of platformers which I've played which are just boring. They don't do anything, but platformers that do something a little different.
Limbo.
Super Meat Boy.
Super Meat Boy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What's the one that...
Ori we're talking about?
Yeah. Ori, that's good as well. No, bloody hell, the one where you're the ball of yarn.
Oh, yeah.
I just bought the sequel to it.
Which is funny because it's all about memory.
Yeah. Aye. Well, that game, it'll come to me. I want to say Tangled, but that's not right.
No.
It's something like that.
Yeah.
Unraveled.
Unraveled, that's it. Or Unravel.
The first one was really good. The story about a woman losing her... it was like dementia, basically, losing her memories, and you were a little ball of yarn that she had and came to life, and then the whole mission was to go and find the memories again. And there was points in it which properly tugged at the heartstrings. But the mechanic in it, where you only had so much sort of like wool, you were always attached to this bit of string, and you could only move so far.
Yeah.
And you had to find more string to then be able to progress through the level. But then you could also like tie it up and use it as like a, to abseil, or use it as like a trampoline, or use it, you know, there was just cool little bits.
It's like a Braid as well.
Braid,
time travel elements.
The time travel, yeah. Max and the Brotherhood,
Oh, right, yeah.
Curse of Brotherhood.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a really good one as well, because that was all about drawing. You had a pen and you were able to draw different elements to the level to help Max get through the rest of the level. So yeah, there's lots of cool little indie platformers and ideas that are coming out.
Yeah. Well, I think it wraps up for E3. We talked about that for a fair bit.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Just a wee update, listeners, on last week's conversation about Daft Mill.
Yeah.
We decided to go for it.
Yeah, we did. We kind of made a decision and went four ways. between three of us.
Yeah. Ralph taking the bigger share because me and Kutch are cheapskates.
Yeah.
But you've, I think Ralph's been on the podcast, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Whiskey Festivals. Whiskey Fest, yeah.
So you've heard his voice before. But yeah, he...
just doesn't shut up.
You know, he's
oh,
so,
God,
so
just goes on and on and on.
Lol. But yeah, no, he's our partner that's gone in on this ridiculously expensive bottle of whiskey. But we kind of made that decision that we're probably not going to get another opportunity at this.
Yeah.
We're certainly not at that price and have somebody that's won the ballot.
Yeah. So it's getting more popular. So the ballot's going to get harder to get at. Yeah. And it's probably going to go up further in price. And this is a single cask thing.
Yeah.
Which an Oloroso finish single cask. It's always interesting to try a single cask. And I'm. The thing the other week was, oh, should we maybe spin it? And I was like, oh, I'm not sure I can. I decided that I couldn't.
Yeah, no.
I just couldn't do it. Like, even though it probably, because it's single cask, and it's different from a rest, it might make a little bit. And especially if we sat on it for 2 years, it'd probably make a lot.
Yeah.
But I just can't do it. I can't bring myself to do it.
No. Although, watch this. We'll sit on it for a week and then we'll see that it's selling for like 10 grand or something.
Don't.
Spin it.
Oh, God, don't. Oh, I'd hate myself.
I think we're making the right choice to drink it and do that. So maybe what we might do is give it a wee review once we've had a drink. Not that any of you will probably ever have a taste of it since it's so limited, but
get it past the shoulders and then.
That was a decision we just kind of all jumped in on.
Well, I got a very nice message from Berry Bros. Hello, sir. Very posh. We supply to the Queen, don't you know? He's like, oh yeah, so congratulations on winning the ballot. Just wondering if you could contact us to arrange payment and delivery. Thanks again, sir. Very thanks. Goodbye. Goodbye. I was like, oh God, that shop's too posh for me. Even when I rang it up and the guy was like, oh, so it's £145, £10 for delivery, but if you order over 200, then you'll get free delivery. And I was like, mate, I'm stretching to the 145, less, you know. He sort of laughed. I was like, yeah, I'm sure you're usually getting like people ordering like £1,000 worth of wine, but it's not really.
Yeah. It's not happening. Although, is that thing where it's like,
I would get,
quid.
Yeah.
You know,
less than. Yeah. I mean, if I bought another bottle of whiskey. Yeah, if I bought another okay bottle of whiskey and I wouldn't have to pay delivery, which is only £10, which is, wait a minute. Yeah.
But that's how they get you.
So that's happening.
Yeah, it's happening. I'm quite excited about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should be tasty.
Trepid.
I think I said this to Kutch earlier. I think Ralph's immediately regretted his purchase.
Yeah.
Because after, so I could have got a Tomat and an Aaron for that, like 18-year-olds. And I was like, and then a few other comments on our chat. And I was like, oh, well, to be honest, it's not going to be as good value as that. Because it can't be as good
as an 18-year-old.
Well, as two 18-year-olds.
Yeah.
It's more of it's an interesting thing that's going to be really good.
Yeah. And the only way we can do this is by doing it together as well.
And doing it now before we can't do it because of people spinning it and because of it getting popular.
And because we're like interested in whiskey.
And it's from Fife as well. And it was really nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of things in it. Why it's, we'll have it, we'll drink it, and it will be probably the most expensive bottle of whiskey we will drink together.
Yeah, like all our best content listeners, which you'll know if you're a long-term listener, I don't know if you've survived this far, but our interview of, was it Alex Cuthbert or was it? It was Alex, wasn't it? Yeah, Cuthbert, who at Daffmill was lost.
Was lost, yep.
And it was quite good. What I remember, my drunken interview, what I remember of it.
Jamie asked some really good questions and got some really interesting responses as well.
He's an interesting guy.
He asked about the fact that he's making craft whiskey. Yeah. And he was like, is it craft whiskey? And you're like, it's craft whiskey.
Yeah.
And then you had a conversation about, you know, the ins and outs of what you know, what makes up the term craft. And you know, why would it be a craft whiskey? And it was actually really good. And we lost it. the ghost of technical errors. That
happens every week, listeners. Every week, our best stuff's lost.
We
Kutch just looked at the recorder there, a little bit worried,
a little bit of panic. No, it's fine.
Okay. We've not had any good content yet. So it's not going to be there. So it'll all be fine.
Nah, it's fine. But yeah, well, I think we should do that. I think you, me, and Ralph should maybe try that and record as we drink it.
That'd yeah.
be actually quite interesting to see how we, how our thoughts grow throughout each dram.
Yeah.
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 Should do that.
Yeah.
Padding for content.
Well, I was going to quickly mention some new TV shows that I've really liked. Cool. Also a sad end to good, bad TV of, Gotham's coming to an end.
See, we've not watched it since series, in fact we only watched series one, but
it's so good.
It's one of the ones we plan on chewing through probably in the next 6 weeks.
Yeah.
When I'll have some time on my hands. Well, will, but I won't.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotham's ending thingy, Into the Badlands ended, and Blood Drive got cancelled. The trifecta of good, bad TV. And so good. So good. But good TV, which is starting again. So we've had... Oh, did we talk about what we did in Shadows? We did, didn't we?
No, I don't think we did. Oh, I've not watched it yet. I've not had a chance.
Very good. I'm almost caught up with it now. I basically watched...
Amazon?
No, it's on BBC.
Is it BBC, is it? All right, well, okay. I think it was on one of the streaming services.
Wait a minute. I think it's... So I think this is what's confusing me. I think it's made by FX...
Right.
I think HBO might have a hand in it as well.
Okay.
I thought it was on HBO in the States, but when it starts, it says FX.
All right.
And I thought the BBC were showing it, because I'm sure I saw an advert for it on BBC.
Uh-huh.
But when I download it, it's got an FX screen at front, so I don't know.
Right, okay.
I don't know.
Where the fuck it is. But it's on Sky, basically.
Yeah, you can download on Sky. I think it'll be on iPlayer, because I think it is getting shown on BBC. Mm. It's very good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
The film's brilliant.
It's very similar to the film. But, like, there's a couple of dud moments, but overall, it's just brilliant. And another Matt Berry thing, which has come out, is Year of a Rabbit.
I've seen the adverts for it. It looks interesting.
I only watched the first episode last night. It's very good. It's basically like a 70s copper, right? But in Victorian London.
Yeah.
And it's really stupid. And it's got some really stupid jokes, but it's really funny. It reminds
Matt
me...
Matt Berry, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. I don't know if it's Matt Berry written.
Uh-huh.
Because I think Toast of London was Matt Berry and someone else. It feels a lot like Toast, but less surreal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Toast was very surreal. It is a little bit surreal, but in a different way. And
the thing with Toast, like you're saying, it's surreal. I've listened to a few interviews with Matt Berry about Toast, and he's kind of said that a lot of it is kind of hyper-real.
Yeah, hyper-real might be a better way to...
It's based on weird shit that happens to him as a voiceover artist.
Yeah.
Like, it is essentially, these are the kind of things that you're asked, and these are the kind of things that happen.
Well, while watching, I'm pretty sure it was while watching that, and I'd just come off of what we did in the... I just watched that, then I watched What We Did in the Shadows, and I watched... Oh no, watch Rogers, then Year of a Rabbit. And in the adverts was a bloody Matt Berry voiceover in one of the adverts. Like, oh, he's everywhere.
He is, he's everywhere. When you actually tune into his voice. But he also does things where it's not necessarily quite his voice.
Yeah, but you can hear it.
Yeah,
because
he is quite good at doing lots of different voices, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is his bread and butter.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's Karen Novak as well. And What We Do in the Shadows. Mm-hmm. Phonejacker guy, woman in it. I totally recognize her, and I meant his research to look up what else she was in, but I forgot. But I do recognize her. But the best character is Colin Robinson, and I don't want to spoil it. But he's more like a normal person than a vampire, but he's still a vampire.
Right.
But Colin Robinson, it's incredible.
I'll need to catch up with it. It does look like it'll be good TV.
And something I watched today. First two episodes of Jessica Jones.
Oh, is that out? Is it?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Okay.
I knew it was coming out soon, but I thought it was like next month. No, it's out.
All right.
The first two episodes are better than the entirety of season two.
Right.
Like, just so much better.
We finished watching Punisher. We watched two episodes of that and never got back into it. The first two episodes were really good.
I'm more of an... Oh, What, season one?
No, season two.
Oh, season two, yeah. I'm about halfway through. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm about halfway through season two, but I'm just not enjoying it as much as I did the first time.
The episodes were really good. I enjoyed them. Kind of started with a bang.
It's the tone of it. It's had a tone shift and I don't like it. And the character dynamics are different and feel forced. I don't know. I just don't like it. But Jessica Jones back on track for the last season.
Which is sad, but fair enough.
Yeah.
Did you catch Handmaid's Tale?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Again, heavy fucking shit for one episode. Yeah, but Jesus. What was interesting is we were saying, like, there was a lot...
That Josh, from the West Wing.
Oh, yeah, no.
That Josh.
That Josh.
Bloody hell. Should have never let him near power.
So... Yeah, it was good. The trailer for it, for the new season, like, was pretty much all in that episode, which is pretty good as well, because I thought there was spoilers for things that were going to happen much further down the line, but they put everything that was in the trailer in that first episode, so it means that, yeah, there's now... You don't know what's going to happen, basically. Yeah. That's how I prefer it. It's the Avengers trick of using only the first 20 minutes in the trailer.
Yeah,
And then leaving the rest of it, you know, completely leaving you oblivious to it all. But yeah, Handmaid's Tale is so bleak. So good. Although it kind of feels like there might be elements of hope.
Yeah.
In this series.
That seems to be more what we're going for.
Maybe needs because as much as I absolutely have loved the first two seasons, it's so bleak and so draining that by the end of every episode, you're just like, fuck.
Yeah. That's like Black Mirror as well. Like, I haven't watched a new season yet, even though I want to, because I haven't finished the last season because I'm like, just about to go to sleep. It's like, I have two or three things now on a Sunday night recording, which are, I have lots of things actually. I have Handmaid's Tale.
Yep.
At the same time as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah.
Which... they should just finish it. It's been better this season than last season so far. That doesn't mean it's good.
Yeah.
But I need to watch it because I've watched so much of it. What else? I think What We Do in the Shadows is running on a Sunday night as well.
Yeah.
And Gotham as well. Yeah. But I always watch The Handmaid's Tale first because I'm sure as shit not watching that just before I go to bed. It is harrowing. Yeah, it's like, Jesus Christ.
We used to keep, was it either Big Bang Theory or Modern Family or something like that for after because you can't go to bed on a Handmaid's Tale. It's too, again, it's that thing where you can see how easily things could flip that way.
I just want to say about Jessica Jones, he seemed to be going in for a good, like, a really interesting sort of, like, thing about power and responsibility, you know, votes of great power, responsibility, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But they seem to be doing it in a really good way and a really interesting way. And it just feels so much better than the last season. The last season was like, ugh, this is dragging on. This is boring. It's like, oh, mama, no. It was really weird. I could kind of get what they were trying to do with, like, an abusive mom and who was also absent and blah, but it didn't work. Yeah. They didn't make it work.
There's bits of the season that were the last season that were good, and then bits of it that were just like lost.
Yeah. Whereas this has been really good. I think I'm actually halfway through the third episode as well, and it's just been hit.
Yeah, cool.
So much better.
The other one that we started watching again was The Runaways. Did you ever watch any of that?
No.
So the first season was really good. It's more teen drama.
Mm.
Like, if you think Marvel's version of Smallville, essentially.
Okay.
It's that kind of...
Yeah.
That level. It's less gritty and dark. But yeah, it's still pretty good because the whole premise of The Runaways is that it's some kids who discover that their parents are essentially evil. In the actual comic books, it turns out that they're the kids of, like, classic Marvel bad guys. And that these bad guys all are part of a evil syndicate, essentially. And they find that out, and then they...
Is it like who is it? Like,
it's like Doctor Doom's.
Kids oh and stuff right, like okay.
Yeah. Whereas it's slightly changed in this that their parents are just very malevolent.
Don't use those properties.
but yeah, they find out and then they go on the run. But it's all about them finding out and, you know, like, how they deal with that. Not only are they teenagers going through everything that teenagers go through, but yeah, it's been quite fun. In the second season, it's done and dusted. But we just started watching it the other day, and it looks as though it's kicking off.
Can't be worse than that mutant one.
Oh, the X-Men one. Which one was that?
Maybe it is. No, it's got the guy from. It's got what's her name from Angel in it.
Oh yeah,
and the guy from
Watched any of it. There was two seasons.
I think there's more than that now. Right. It's not very good. Yeah. It's really bad.
I really liked Legion, the first season. The second season was a bit...
We talked about this. I liked the first season. Second, well, I still think both were a bit overcooked. But for, like, trying too hard, a bit like the second season of Mr. Robot, which the first season sort of worked. And then the second season was, like, trying too hard to be interesting and edgy and stuff.
Prison Break.
Yes.
First season, amazing. Yeah. Second season, stretching it. Third season, nope, out.
Yeah, it's kind of like... jokes are better when you can remember the thing that makes the joke work. It's kind of like the discography of Block Party. All I could think was Silent Alarm, our first album. Because that's the only bit you really need to remember, listeners. Yeah. You don't need the rest.
First album. Second album's actually...
No, but that's good. What I mean. Yeah. It's okay. Compared to Silent Alarm, though.
I really enjoyed the second album, but after
compared
that,
to Silent Alarm, and then the third album.
Oh boy. They were a great band with great potential. Yeah, never mind.
Yeah.
Hi.
So,
will we do a sort of Fight Club?
Yeah,
type thing?
It's meant to be Desert Island Dicks this week, but we're not allowed on the island because
there's only two of us.
There's only two of us, and we don't have any children to get separated from us. So it's got a strict immigration policy of the island.
Topical. Yeah. Yeah, so
I just want to say I was just telling Kutch before we started. I saw George Takei say, "Oh, you know, in a core way, this is worse than when I was interred as a Japanese citizen in the US. You know, Trump's putting up families at a border. Obama did it too, listeners, just not as much. at least I was allowed to stay with my parents when I was interred." I was like, holy shit, that is. Ooh, that's cutting.
That's pretty bad. So this week in the Twitterverse, it was one of these things. Usually on Twitter you see meanwhile on Facebook. This week it was on Facebook, meanwhile on Twitter.
Yeah.
Justin Bieber decided that he was going to kick up a bit of a stink
You're expecting me to say something.
Yeah, because I've forgotten who it was.
So he was saying Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise, that's it, yeah.
Who's what, like 56 or something? Like that, and he's like double his age. And he's like, oh, Tom Cruise, I challenge you to a fight in the octagon, and if you don't fight me, you're scared.
Yeah.
Who wants to
and
put
you'll never live it down.
You'll never live it down. Who wants to put it up? Dana White at whoever else, I can't remember. And everyone's like, what the fuck was it? I remember, actually, Ian, a friend of the podcast, he tweeted something at me that someone else had said, which was, random, I remember my first shandy.
It really was weird, and it was the whole sort of like, if you don't take this up, you're scared, and you're scared, and you'll never live it down.
Yeah,
like what?
Yeah, it's just bizarre.
What the fuck was that about? I mean, was it just that nobody had paid him any attention for 20 minutes, and he needed a little bit of needy attention?
It's really weird. And now, since you were, I didn't know this, but you were saying it, he said, "Oh, I didn't mean it," or something. It's what do you mean you didn't mean it?
Like,
it's such a bizarre thing to tweet.
Even if you were high.
Yeah, he must have been coked up off his fucking face. Like,
it's so weird.
Yeah, and then, so, might have seen on the socials.
Yeah.
we put up something like, oh, challenge to... Was that me or you? I can't even remember.
It was me, I think.
It was you, yeah. Challenge Rock to a fight.
Yeah, to the Rock to a fight in the wrestling ring. And if he doesn't reply, he's obviously scared.
Yeah.
And he'll never live it down. And
the big jabroni.
Wanted to know if Vince McMahon would put it up.
Yeah. And then News Thump or some similar satirical thing stole our fucking banner.
Content, yeah.
Patter theft.
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking unreal.
So, patter theft.
And with, what's his name, that shit singer? Ginger guy brings shame to all gingers everywhere.
McCucknall.
No. Well, that's a good example. Younger than us.
Oh, Mr. Bland,
yes.
Blandy Bland Sheeran.
Yes, yeah, thank you, yeah.
That was it, that's him. Right.
Yeah, that cover of Galway Girl is a fucking travesty. Galway Girl, played right, is a beautiful song. Done so, well. And hit. Oh, God.
I think I've talked about so this bad. Before, but Ed Sheeran.
You hate him so much.
I don't even hate him. I just don't believe he's real. I think he's a hologram and that he's been made up. You know, like how they have these K-pop and J-pop, like... animated artists.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's Ed Sheeran. It's entirely digital. Like, the songs
like
are...
Krieger's wife. Yeah.
Exactly.
Krieger-san.
The songs are written by algorithm. I think he is entirely created by a record company to sell bland as shit records.
Mm.
Have you ever seen him in real life? There's no way somebody that born and that ginger can actually be that famous.
That's a fair point. It's an absolutely fair point. Oh, God. He also appears in the film Yesterday, which I kind of like the look of.
Except it's got him in it.
Oh, not just that. It also looks like the most middle-of-the-road film I've ever seen.
But have you seen who's behind it? It's no. Written by Richard Curtis.
Oh, God. That's why it's so middle-of-the-road.
And directed by Danny Boyle.
Yeah, I didn't know it was directed by Danny Boyle until I was flicking through channels, saw him on Graham Norton. I was like, why is Danny Boyle talking about this film yesterday? It doesn't look like a Danny Boyle film in the slightest. But
Danny Boyle has two modes. He has like gritty, fucking awesome, massive, you know, the British blockbuster. You know,
yeah.
He has that in him. But he does also have pasty white Britain, middle of the road. Aye, shit films. And Richard Curtis, that is exactly where he lives.
I think they've just taken the colour palette from the covers of like Help and Yellow Submarine and mixed them together. And it's like, that's how bright we want everything to be. Yeah. Abbey Road as well. That's the palette. Everything looks so bright and clawing. I'm interested. I'm like, that's one I'll wait to hit like Netflix or Sky Movies or
I
film.
I saw the trailer for it. Just like 2 days ago. And then, we went to see Rocket Man last night.
Oh, yeah, you were saying it was good.
Just.
I don't like soft ass shit. It's a deep reference for some of you listeners.
It is. Just adjunct. What am I trying to say?
Adjunct.
Adjunct. Here we go. Yeah. God, it's late. an adjunct. Saw Rocket Man. Great film. Like, really good, fun, a mixture. It's not a straight up biopic.
Mm.
It is, but I think it takes some, you know, sort of creative license with it. But it's also not, some people described it as a musical, but it's not a straight up musical either.
Mm.
It's kind of like it uses the music to tell the story.
Yeah.
At points. So, Taron Egerton, or Edgerton, however you want to say it.
I didn't know there was a debate about that.
I've heard different people say Egerton and Edgerton. He plays Elton John, and he's so good at it that you forget that he's Taron Egerton. But then the same was with Eddie the Eagle as well when he was in that.
I never saw that. People said it was really good, though.
Yeah, it was. It's a good film. And again, it's the same director as well. It's
Looks like it quite a bit. Yeah. So that makes, from the trailers, because I've not seen either of them, but that makes sense.
Famous press gang actor, Dexter Fletch.
Oh, right. Yeah. wow.
But yeah, he's done a cracking job. And like, he came in and saved the Bohemian Rhapsody film, which I've not seen.
Not seen.
And he didn't get a credit for that, a directing credit. It was Bryan Singer that got it, even though he only did like 20% of the film or something.
Fucking Bryan Singer.
But
fucking...
you can see why he'd done Rocket Man first.
Yeah.
And you can then see why they've obviously called him up to try and save Bohemian Rhapsody because he had musical biopic already. But I think Bohemian Rhapsody took it down a more traditional biopic with music.
Yeah.
Whereas what they did with Rocketman is, just used Elton John's back catalogue of music to tell the story of Elton John. It goes from him being a kid right the way up to, I think, about 89, 90, something like that. Basically to him going into rehab and coming out of rehab from there. It's good, fun, lots of great Elton John. He just got fucking... There's actually a point when you forget how many good songs he's got. And it's a bit of a greatest hits that way as well. It was good. Really good fun. I'd recommend it. Story about a boy who just wants a hug.
Oh.
But yeah, back to...
We should actually do that. Yeah. Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding. So, The Rock versus Us.
Yeah.
Is it The Rock versus, each of us individually, or is it The Rock versus all of us in a sort of tag team effort versus The Rock?
When you say tag team,
mm-hmm.
that is still mostly individually.
Yeah.
So when he destroys one of us, but The Rock, he won't slow down.
People elbow us.
Yeah. Well, I know what'll happen is that you'll go in first.
Uh-huh.
He'll decimate you.
Thanks.
Oh, don't worry. He's going to decimate all of us. I'll go in I'll slap you to tag you in. Sorry, not slap you. I will slap you. And then I'll tag you. I'll tag myself in. But just before I do, where I raise my hand to tag myself in, he'll just raise one eyebrow. And I go, oh, shit. I don't want any of that. Don't want any of that.
Turn around and tag Mark in.
Yeah. I'll tag Mark in. Mark will try to outsmart him, get smashed.
Mark will try and do a poke to the eyes and a rake to the back.
Yeah.
It's his signature move.
James, this whole time, will be acting, which is funny because he knows most about pro wrestling between all of us, but he'll be the manager character. And he'll be
the swagger.
Yeah.
The Vince McMahon.
He'll have a suitcase.
With a contract.
Yeah. Yeah. And then... Mags will refuse to take part in the whole thing.
Yeah.
As will Lizzie, but she'll noisily shout from the oh no, Lizzie's a diva. Lizzie's a diva who's helping it. So she's handing us steel chairs. And then we're hitting them with them. But it's from Rock, so it's not doing fucking anything. And we're like, and then we get put through a table. So it's like, oh well, that's that. And then Dave goes in, and Dave slows him down a bit because Dave's a big guy.
Yeah.
But then Dave gets smashed as well.
I was going to say, is he as big as The Rock?
No.
I mean, does he eat 25 meals a day of eggs and chicken and broccoli?
He'd get up at was it 5 a.m. every day?
To do ridiculous amounts of, oh, nah, fuck that for a life.
What he must do to, maintain as well. He does bulk up every so often and get, really ridiculous when he's going to be in a film.
Yeah.
But even just to maintain, his normal level.
Yeah.
The amount of work he must do a day is mental.
But then again, also, when it comes to, there's that sort of thing where it's oh, you can do this if you just, prep your meals in advance. It's it's very good when you've got
Didn't you do meal prepping, last week?
That's different, though. That's meal prepping for, standard normal meals.
Okay.
One meal, we're prepping one meal a day or one meal for, whereas when you've got somebody that is prepping
10
meals a day. And you're not even having to think about it. They're going away with a plan and working on the plan and coming up with your meals, and you're literally then bunging it in a microwave.
Well, we could do Terry Crews. He does intermittent fasting. Because it's meant to be good for muscle and all that. He's I love it. And he just eats everything in a few hours and that's it. Good shit. But so The Rock, see, this is the thing. I think we'd need someone to help us.
Do you think he can still fight, though? I mean, even act fight.
Well, see.
He's gone all Hollywood. I mean, do you think that's a different type of act fighting?
Yeah, I think he could. I definitely think he could. the big, is he Hawaiian? I was about to say big Hawaiian bastard, but I'm not sure he's Hawaiian.
I think he might be.
Oh, well. It's all right. I've said it now. Done. Yeah. Sorry if you're offended, Rock. Fight me or you're scared, bro. Yeah, you're running scared. But we should have someone to help us. And one of the few wrestlers, I think, who could take on The Rock. Not one of these new Roman Reigns bullshit wrestlers. No, no, no. We're going to bring in to help us Ric Flair.
Woo!
Yeah. And Ric Flair, for his energy alone.
Is he not dead? Is he still hanging in?
When I said that,
yeah,
I went, wait a minute, is Ric Flair dead in my head? But I went, I'm going to go for it anyway.
Let's have a quick look. I want to find out.
He was at a UFC event, like, oh no, actually, it was a couple of years ago now.
No, 3 hours ago, he's...
oh yeah, he was in hospital, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was in hospital, but yeah. No, he's in Greater Austin at the moment, so yeah, he's not dead.
Woo! Phew! Let's be honest, even the corpse of Ric Flair would be a good tag team partner.
It really would be, yeah.
Yeah.
Ric Flair, man.
Got so much charisma.
What about our new...
Because Ric Flair is probably the age difference between Justin Bieber and The Rock. Sorry, Justin Bieber and Tom Cruise, between Ric Flair and The Rock, is probably about the same.
What about our new wrestling buddy? Did he come up with a name?
Who, Ross?
Yeah, Ross.
Oh. Has Ross been on the podcast?
Yeah, he was, wasn't he? Our 100th episode.
Oh, he was. Yeah. Of course he was. I was trying to think before. I was like, we had Doogie on and we talked about having Ross on.
Yeah.
And then it never happened, but we did have him on the 100th.
Yeah. So Fife fan and... friend of the podcast, Ross Walker. He is. He's been doing a little bit of kind of amateur wrestling,
yeah,
and now has a full
professional wrestling.
Yeah.
I was doing amateur wrestling today. Yeah.
yeah. So he's coming up with a moniker. I don't know if he's decided on it yet. Should we talk about it or leave it?
I don't know if it's cool. Yeah. Although I think. Nah, we better not.
Yeah, but it
because we haven't asked them.
Yeah, no, but it does look cool, and I think like
don't get us wrong, listeners. We are not below trawling private group chats for content.
Oh yeah, but, absolutely. Yeah. But I think he could come in and be a hand.
Yeah,
yeah, he's a big bloke.
He is a big bloke.
Yeah, I don't know if he's quite Rock big, but between him and Dave, we can hide behind them.
Yeah. Oh, now we're talking. Support. If you tag teamed Ross and Dave, I'd give them a chance against The Rock. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Ross could definitely act it.
Yeah. Ross could sell he'd sell it.
He'd do some good wrestling.
Yeah, wrestling. No, all right, okay.
Wait, what?
Puzzle South Park reference. Yeah. That's no wrestling. I'm this close to getting the headgear for that because I keep getting this wee notch in my ear that I didn't have before. I've got the fear of a cauliflower ear. Because of
the cauliflower ear.
Yeah, if you've not seen my face, listeners, it's a thing of beauty, okay? And I don't want to ruin this. It is so ginger and pale. But actually, I just thought Dave could leg kick The Rock. And I don't care how big The Rock's legs. I felt Dave's leg kicks, and it's like a train hitting your leg. It's absolutely disgusting. So Ross could lull him, all right, we're doing pro wrestling. And out of nowhere, Dave just leg kicks him.
Yeah.
And he falls to the ground.
And then we all just pile on at that point.
Yeah, Dave does an anaconda. Job done.
Yeah, done.
Yeah.
Rock's fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I take us. I think we can beat The Rock.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck you, Rock. And if you disagree, you're scared.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't reply to this, you are scared. You're running. You'll never live it down.
Yeah.
Fucking idiot. Fucking Justin Bieber. Fuck.
So there we go. We won.
Yeah, we won.
We won.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Fuck you and fuck Justin Bieber. And
well,
if you want to fight us, come at us, bro.
You know what we have to do now?
What's that?
Justin Bieber versus Tom Cruise.
It's the only natural thing.
I mean, the age is a massive factor.
It is a massive factor.
Even though Tom Cruise will keep fit.
Yeah.
And obviously has mental Scientology self-belief.
I was just going to say, he's fucking mental. Like, yeah. Screw loose mental.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he goes rock climbing and...
Yeah.
Like, free, well, free climbing and all that.
Here's the thing. Because of that, his upper body strength and his grip strength will be unreal. Yeah, just absolutely unreal. So,
I mean, Justin Bieber,
I didn't know he was taking private lessons in boxing from Floyd Mayweather a couple of years ago. But that doesn't mean he can box.
No, it doesn't. It just means Floyd Mayweather's taking a lot of money.
Yeah. Man, I can't imagine how much it would cost to get a private from Floyd Mayweather. Jesus Christ. That is absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. Like, oh. Anyway, so I think that basically when it came down to, if it came down to cardio and striking, maybe Justin Bieber would win. But I think Tom Cruise being the smaller guy, I presume he's smaller, smaller than most people. Yeah. But I don't think Justin Bieber's especially tall either.
No.
Tom Cruise, the mouse, that's an old joke. He'd just go for the takedown.
Yeah.
And then just basically tear his head off.
Yeah.
Yeah, with his amazing climbing grip strength.
Or act mental and kind of jump all over him.
Mm.
Profess his love for Katie Holmes. Even though she left him and got out of that crazy...
Oh, God.
...cult.
Oh, Tom. But
I watched Oblivion not that long ago. That is a good film.
It is. Never made about a sci-fi film.
No, he really hasn't. They keep talking about doing a sequel to... what was it called? Live, Die, Repeat.
Yeah, I know. That was a stupid American name.
Yeah.
It was called Edge of Tomorrow.
That's it, Edge of Tomorrow, yeah.
Live, Die, Repeat, such a bad name. That was the tagline here. Yeah. That makes sense. But a name? Yeah. Ugh. But they finally got a script now that they're... Because they did a script and they weren't happy with it. And now they have one that they're happy with and they're sort of actively...
Great fucking film. Yeah. I really enjoyed that one. Yeah. See, Tom Cruise, as much as a person, I think he's probably a terrible person that eats babies and all that kind of stuff.
they've got the best feetings.
Lol. he does make good films.
Yeah, apart from The Mummy.
Yeah, well, yeah. Although I think he was taken along for a ride on that one by the sounds of things.
Yeah.
They kind of...
Paramount were like, we need a big name because this is shit.
Yeah. but look at the Mission Impossible films. Even the bad ones are good.
Yeah.
You know, they know
the last couple have been really good.
I've not seen the last one.
And one of them had Henry Cavill in it.
That was the last one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've not seen that one.
And it was good.
Yeah.
And it had Henry Cavill in it.
Henry Cavill with a moustache, which was meant to be there and not digitally removed. Like,
so boring.
Like it was in Justice League. Yeah.
You're going to play The Witcher and then go to watch the film and just be disappointed. I'm just telling you,
it's
bored.
It's not a film, it's a TV series. It's Netflix.
Oh, it's TV series, isn't it? My bad. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It'll still be unbelievably boring. Oh, God. Just thinking about him makes me tired and sleepy.
It's because he just played one of the most dull, boring...
No, it's in everything. He's really boring in Mission Impossible. He's boring in Men from U.N.C.L.E.
Men from U.N.C.L.E.
Man from U.N.C.L.E.
U.N.C.L.E.
Yeah.
He's
boring in something else I've seen him in.
I've only ever seen him as Superman.
He's boring in that as well. And it kind of works for Superman, but as we've discussed before, not Clark Kent.
Yeah.
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 So, fight. So, I'm taking Tom Cruise.
Yeah, I think Tom Cruise. Again, just Justin, which one is it? Bieber, yeah.
Yeah.
He's just a wee cunt.
We're not believers.
No, we're not. He's just a wee cunt that needs knocked down a peg or two. Yeah. Maybe Justin Trouser Snake needs to, Trouser Snake.
Yeah. Tom Cruise will be beating on him.
Yeah.
And he'll go, baby, baby, baby. Oh! And then Tom Cruise will say, do you have babies to eat? They have the best feedings. Disclaimer, we're not saying Tom Cruise actually eats babies. This is purely for comedic effect.
We are.
Because he's a litigious bastard.
We are, but we're not. yeah. Although I still think Tom Hanks maybe eats babies, but that's, again...
That's why he has the soul of a boy. His boyish charm even now.
He He's too nice. He's too nice, too
cool. We talked about this before, haven't we? He's too nice for something.
Like Mark's whole thing about Phil Schofield being a wrong on.
but Phil's quite clearly like
there's something dark about Phil. Whereas Tom's just too nice. I think there's some really horrible dark skeleton in his cupboard that we'll probably only find out once he's dead. I mean, again, that's all allegedly. Where were we? Tom Cruise, done.
Tom Cruise?
Yep.
Done.
Yeah, cool. We'll bring this to a close.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, guys. We'll get some of the funny ones back Mark, next week.
Oh, yeah, it's funny because it's true.
Where can they get us, Jamie? Want to run through it again?
They can get us on the socials at facebook.com/fiveclubpod or at Five Club, Twitter at Five Club, email Ken at fiveclub.co.uk, website www.fiveclub.co.uk, or just fucking Google it.
Yeah. And if you want more of this, just, you know, one-on-one action between me and Jamie, you can let us know. It's probably not going to happen often, but let us know and we'll really actually know. Just don't.
No. It's like a porno no one requested.
But you're going to get for the rest of your days. Drop us a pound or two as well if you want. You know,
yeah.
If we've got donations, or buy a t-shirt. You know, you actually get something for your money that way.
Buy our shit.
Yeah. Radio Haver as well. Get us on Radio Haver Monday nights.
Oh, yes.
7 o'clock. We're still on there. And that's going from strength to strength as well. So if you like pre-programmed content, then go there. There's lots of great shows as well. Lots of good music and all that stuff. I suppose it brings me to that time of the podcast where I have to ask Jamie, what's the motto this week? Motto?
Fuck,
yeah, see, this is what happens.
Oh my god. But I never do the bottle, so that's why I'm confused. Fuck Justin Bieber.
Actually.
Well, it's up to you. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Good night.
Night.